The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word on this Wednesday, hump day. Best commercials, I think, in the past few years is that camel, Hump Day. This is it. This is Bert Harper, and I'm along with Jim Stanley again. Alex McFarland is still out. You need to pray for him. He's got a busy, busy schedule, you know, starting usually the last part of January.
Right.
So he needs to get that voice back in working order.
He does. And I mean, because let me tell you, folks, for Bert or for Alex to miss this show, there is some significant hoarseness going on and possibly even some laryngitis. And, you know, I haven't talked to him. Bert, you have, and I need to check on him and see how he's doing. But folks, really do pray for Alex because he doesn't like to give up this show.
He does not. He loves it, and he loves to share he is just that kind of a guy. And I have to admit, Jim, I like you having you here during the Bible study, but during the question
You'd
time.
You'd rather have Alex.
I love to have Alex.
I understand.
Alex. And,
when you get your – no.
We want you to pray for Alex and Angie. I don't know what kind of patient he is. When I'm out and sick and you're taking my place, tell him to pray for Jan.
Right. Angie is a nurse by trade, so she's probably had some difficult patients in the past.
That is true.
There you go.
Okay, what we're doing here on Exploring the Word, and we've had some people calling in and asking about this and saying, we would like to have, you know, like the – be able to buy it, but you can go on podcast after it's through, and you can keep up with it that way. We're doing the line or the thread of redemption through the Bible.
Well, if they'll send us an email to word@afr.net, we'll get those to print to Brent, your producer, and we can get them a CD copy. Now, there is a nominal charge for that, but if you'd like it, it's not a special series. We can probably get one, two broadcasts to a CD, and if you have, we can get two broadcasts to one CD is what Brent's telling me, and then if you have an MP3 player, we could probably get you many shows.
Well, we've had folks asking about that, and honestly, there's a book. I don't know if you can get it, and the idea, W.A. Criswell, the former great pastor of the First Baptist Church Dallas, wrote a book. His was The Scarlet Thread of Redemption Through the Bible, I think is the exact word. And it's just you follow, and different people could pick different, Redeemer pictures and types of Christ. I'm doing that as we go through. I told Alex that I would do that, and I'm got three today I want to go over. I'm excited about
them. Amen.
Well,
I'm for you.
Yes, before we get started, we want to do this about the pre-born ministry, Jim.
Yes,
sir. It is so important, and I'm like this. If I don't do it at the beginning, I get started, and I don't know where to stop.
Well, and it was my job to remind you of that, and a shiny squirrel came by.
But we are looking at pre-born ministry, and it is what you do. You're helping crisis pregnancy centers all across America with paying for sonograms when ladies come in, and they're coming in basically looking for an abortion, and they try to have a sonogram, share the gospel with them, and let them see that life in their womb is precious. And you can be a part of that and say, hey, I want to pay for one of those sonograms. They're basically about $28 is the cost per one, according to the information we have. So $28 would pay for a sonogram, $140 for five sonograms that women would have. And 80% of the time when they have the sonogram and the information is presented, they decide to keep the baby. That's a great percentage.
Well, it really is. Bert, when you think about that, because this is pro-life month here across the country and at American Family Association, by the way, coming up on Sanctity of Life Sunday, we're going to have a special from Brad Mattis, and you know Brad.
Yes.
With life issues.
Right.
He's a champion for life. And not just life in the womb, but Brad is a champion for life from basically from the womb to the, you know, to the grave. And he fights against
euthanasia
and the different things there. And then, you know, the selective abortions where folks say, well, you know, there may be some health issues there, so we don't want to take a chance. Brad's a true trooper. And so on that Sunday, we're going to have a special broadcast from Brad for you folks.
Amen. And we're looking forward to that. If you want to participate and be a part, we've already had great numbers of you to call in and contribute. You can do that by calling 877-616-2396. Let me repeat that, 877-616-2396. If you'd like to give any amount to help with a sonogram, or you can donate online at AFR.net.
And we are currently, don't have my phone. Brent, do some quick calculations for me here, if you would. Let's take 29 and divide by 28. I think that's going to put us at, all right, hold on. Brent's bringing me the calculator. Evidently, the gym math was too tough for him.
Hey, I can say 28 to 29. It goes into one time with one remaining.
Right. Right now, we are at the point, because one of the reasons we're doing this is we don't want to talk about the money so much. We want to talk about the lives that are being impacted.
Exactly.
And so right now, we're at 1,039 ladies that will have the opportunity to choose life for their baby.
Amen.
And that's because of folks listening and participating. And again, folks, if you'd like to help us with that, the number is 877-616-2396 or online at AFR.net. Brother Burke?
Thank you, Jim. And listen, we're behind this, and praise the Lord for a new partner in us doing this good work. We're looking at the line of redemption through the Bible, and today we're in the book of Numbers. And in Numbers chapter 20, you'll find something that really has two of them. It's about Moses striking the rock and water coming out, okay? And it's in chapter 20, verse 7, chapter 20, starting with verse 7. Let me read that. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Now, we know he struck the rock in place of speaking to it, and that's reason he didn't go into the promised land.
Right.
But we're not talking about that, but we're talking about the rock and the water. Now, when you think about that, and you again, a lot of what we're doing is running it over to the New Testament and seeing how Jesus fulfilled that. He is the, when you talk about the redemption, Jim, you got to talk about the Redeemer.
Right.
And in John chapter 4, do you remember Jesus at the well, and the woman was looking for water, and he said, if you knew the water that I could give you, you'd never thirst again.
Amen.
That's the water. That water that was brought from the rock is a picture of the salvation, the redemption of a person's soul through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is a beautiful term.
And you know, you said that we weren't going to really touch on this too much, but
hey, you want to?
Well, one of the notes I had made is that there is cause and effect. God said, speak to the rock. Moses, out of anger, lifted his hand and struck the rock, not once, but twice. So there's cause and effect. And the immediate effect that Moses had was that he lost the fellowship of God in the promised land. God simply said, you aren't going to go, and you know, you're not going to go in. In fact, you and this generation aren't going to go in. And so there is cause and effect. And so that too, though, is what Christ redeemed us from.
Amen.
You know, good point, brother. He was the one who came and bore our penalty so that we as children of God, no matter how many times we've struck the rock, if we have repented and come to know him as Savior, then he takes the place for us, and he's paid the penalty so that we can enter the promised land.
Amen. Let me give you a New Testament passage besides John 4 on this, and this one was powerful, Jim. And I just want to read it. It's from Paul did it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea." He's talking about these people, mm-hmm. these Israelites who were coming out, Hebrews who were coming out to go into the promised land. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They're talking about you were overcome. You were there. All ate the same spiritual food. We'll get to that in a moment because of the manna. But listen to verse 4 because it does double duty with the rock and the water. Listen to this. And all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Okay, there it is, right there in Numbers chapter 20, him striking the rock, the Redeemer himself, Jesus
was
Christ.
The rock, right.
And Peter and Paul themselves would both talk about the rock, the foundation, the chief foundation. Jesus would say to Peter, "Upon this rock, I'll build my church." I'm one of those. There's been big debate on what Christ was doing about building the church. I think he was like me, Jim. He had hand motions, mm-hmm. gestures. If I didn't have my hands, I probably could not talk.
Right.
People think I'm an Italian because of how, you know.
gestural?
Just because of how I use my hands when I'm speaking. But there's no doubt that Jesus said, "You are Peter," and he pointed his finger at Peter. Mm-hmm. And then, in my opinion, he took back and took his hand and said, "But upon this rock himself, I'll build my church."
And
Jesus,
you know, a lot of folks get
rock.
Confused about that. But it was, in fact, the confession of Peter that thou art the Christ.
The Christ.
The Son of the living
that
God.
That is the confession.
Amen.
Just let's take time out to make sure you know that if you're listening today. And listen, it's so easy to be religious. Alex and I say this all the time, Jim. We're not interested in religion. We're interested in relationship.
Amen.
And that relationship is Christ. And all kinds of terms are used in this relationship, being born again, mm-hmm. born from above, a follower of Christ. Paul would tell the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved." That word "believe" is more than mental accent. It means to confess him fully, surrendering to him.
Yeah.
So really, that's one of the missions of AFR, is to aid the local church in carrying out the Great Commission.
Amen.
And we do that by sharing the gospel, especially on this program, Jim.
Yeah, yeah, we do, and we don't apologize for that either. Folks, if you have an argument about Christ being the only way to God, your argument is with the Bible, not with us, because we are studying what the Bible says, and we're sharing that with you as best we can. And the argument, you know, he settled it.
He
said, "I am," you know, and we're going to come to something in a minute that I'm going to, when we get to it, I'm going to look back at something we said yesterday and follow up again. But it's him, you know, he's the one that does it.
So we're here in Numbers chapter 3, the redemptive line of Jesus Christ. And in Numbers 20, we find that he is the rock, and we find that Paul would follow up with that and talk about Christ is that rock. And we pray that you're building your life upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Coming back after the break, are we going to talk about the bronze serpent?
We're going to talk about the bronze serpent.
All right, stay tuned. Exploring the Word continues here on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 1,790 families have had their homes rebuilt because of you, the listener at American Family Radio, when you've partnered with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims to no fault of their own who lose everything to see volunteers show up and help them rebuild. 2 years ago, we started a rapid response division that goes within 72 hours, and since then have gone to 15 communities across America. Would you consider becoming a part of 8 Days of Hope as we continue to look for ways to grow the ministry in 2017, please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved, submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well. Please continue to pray for the ministry as we look forward to what God has in store for us. Thank you so much for your prayers, your financial support, and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
AFR urges you to support the ministry of 8 Days of Hope at 8daysofhope.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says God is sovereign. He rules, controls, and sustains His creation. So where do luck and chance fit in? We'll find out today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
What you and I and others may look at as random events are actually orchestrated events in the purpose and plan of God. Let's put it another way. This mysterious thing called providence means God is sitting behind the steering wheel of history. And sometimes He's on the main highway, other times He's driving down back alleys. Sometimes it looks like He's going the wrong way on a one-way street. But He's steering the steering wheel of history to arrive at a destination. Now let's get this straight. Sovereignty and His providence, how He hooks things up, is not merely related to the big things that happen. See, we look at the big things and we say, well, either God was in it or God wasn't in it because it was a big, because it affected me greatly. Sovereignty is so complete and providence is so intricate that God includes the details. That's why Matthew 10 says that God knows every hair that's on your head and when it comes out. And He says He knows every sparrow that falls out of a tree. Now, I know you like to think the devil is in the details, but God says, I'm in the details. Because sovereignty covers everything, and providence is how He hooks the everything up in order to arrive at His specific purpose.
Dr. Evans has an extensive collection of messages online, something to speak to any need. Browse our library today by visiting tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell in richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom. Plant me deep like.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. I'm Jim Stanley. It's my privilege to sit in for Dr. Alex McFarland. By the way, if you'd like, we were talking about how busy Alex is and how many things he has going on. If you'd like to bring Alex to your church or your event, you can do so by visiting alexmcfarland.com. alexmcfarland.com, and while you're there, you'll see a link that says bookings, I believe. Click on that, and you'll find more information. One other thing real quick before we get right back into the Bible. I want to remind you that we are partnering with Preborn Ministries this week, and we are hoping that you will help us get moms to be able to choose life. You know, this is one of the ministries that has promised that 100% of your donation will go directly to the pregnancy center providing the ultrasounds. Preborn works with folks, when you get old, you start getting bifocals, and now I have moved on to trifocals. And so I had a number of how many centers they worked with, but let me give you a better number. So far, 33,000 babies have been saved, 69,000 women have heard the gospel, and more than 15,000 of those have given their lives to Christ. And so when you want to talk about numbers, when you want to crunch numbers, that's the number, is the number of moms that have chosen life. So you can help them do that. And again, your gift of $28 helps provide one ultrasound, and then $140 provides 5 ultrasounds. And all of these are provided at no cost to the expecting moms.
And all the money goes for this.
That's right.
Overhead has been
taken care of. Yeah. 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or online at afr.net. Well, Bert, we're skipping to
Numbers, to the next chapter. Yeah.
Numbers 21.
21. That's kind of like expository teaching. Go from one verse. What we're doing most of the time, I love to do this because people need to know a little bit about how to teach and how to learn from the scriptures. Expository means you go at least chapter to chapter, mm-hmm. book to book, give an overview and look at the verses. Topical means you just pick a topic out and you follow the string right. throughout the Bible. Well, this is kind of a combination of that.
We're going, it really is.
We're looking at the topic of the redemption and the Redeemer in each book. And so, yeah, that's the topic, but as we handle it, we'll handle it expositorily, looking at what all it says. So we're in Numbers chapter 21, and I do want to start reading it at verse 4. Verse 7 it is. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us," because what had happened, they'd come in and that was the judgment.
Whining. Let's just break it down to where people live. The children of Israel were whining because the manna that the Lord had been providing, you know, they're just, oh, it's worthless bread. And, you know, wham. Yes, exactly. And so that's why he sent the fiery serpents.
And in the King James, it says murmuring.
Yeah.
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 Murmur. You know,
I bet if we look up the root word, it's whining.
Whining. That's the word. That's it. Okay. And it says, "Take away these serpents." So Moses prayed for the people. There he is as the priest. You know, mm-hmm. we've talked about Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived.
Here's the progression that I see there. First, you have the murmuring and complaining. Then, when God sends judgment, the people realized and confess, "We have sinned." That's what the children of Israel said when they came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." And then it says, they asked Moses to pray that the Lord would take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Now, Bert, I don't want to add or take away from any scripture, but I don't see where the Lord took the serpents away, but rather he provided a way that they might live through their sin. Even though they had murmured, even though they had complained and they had been bitten by these serpents, he made a way. But there was a clause there. There was a catch. And so we go from, we have sinned, Moses prayed, then the Lord said to Moses.
I want to go back to what you said. He did not take it away. I really believe that a lot of pastors, teachers, have sold a lot of people a bill of goods when mm-hmm. it comes to salvation.
Right.
Saying that come into Christ. I think I may have said this yesterday or Monday. I don't know for sure. But everything's going to be roses and everything's going to be good if you just give your life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get saved, hopefully, and they start following Christ, they found out the serpents are still around.
There. Yeah.
And so, yes, you have a friend that takes you through it, not necessarily to deliver you from it all the time.
Right.
Remember the three Hebrew children? Our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace.
Right. But even as they professed, even if he's not,
we're still
even
not
if running. He chooses not to, he's still God. You know, when I look at that, I think of 1 Corinthians 10:13, and you know that's one of my favorite verses. And it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So they've been snake bit by a fiery serpent. They look at the pole with the bronze serpent on it, and they're forgiven. But they've still got the snake bite.
Still there.
There's a memory there that, you know, And I honestly think that the scar of the snake bite reminded them that this is what happened when I complained against God. This is what happened when I did what was wrong.
All right. Jim, thank you for looking into that and going deeper, because that is so impactful. And I think it should be helpful to all those who are hearing, because we got people that have been saved recently, mm-hmm. and they're saying, oh, man, I'm still struggling.
Right.
Join the crowd. It's the journey of the strugglers,
Amen.
Isn't it?
It absolutely is.
It's a journey. But this brings us back to John chapter 3 in the New Testament, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus comes to see Jesus by night. My professor at Blue Mountain College, James Travis, said, do you know why Nicodemus came at night? And we all was waiting to look and waiting to hear. And he says, because he could not wait till the morning.
There you go.
He was in a hurry to get things right. Now, I know there's other reasons, but in that conversation, we find that Jesus talks to Nicodemus, and John probably goes back and gives some of this dialogue. And in verses 14 and 15, talking about looking unto Jesus, being born again, how to be saved, he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, mm-hmm. that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here it is, that type, the redemption, the line of redemption. Here you have the bronze serpent,
right.
representing Christ on the cross, looking unto him in faith, you'd be born again.
Amen. And when you look at that, and then on in John chapter 12, and looking at verse 32 particularly, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This goes back to what I said a moment ago. There's still a clause, all right? Moses prayed, God made a way of relief of so that they might live and not die. But Bert, how many of them do you think said, well, looking at that pole is not going to do me any good? And they chose to die because of the serpent bite. How many people today are choosing not to look at the cross where Jesus was lifted up and promised that he would draw all men into himself? One quick backspace, if you will. In this passage, if you look at it in John, again, 12, 27 through 32, Jesus is talking. And he says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice from heaven came saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Bert, what was the purpose of some of the priest's clothing that we talked about yesterday?
Glory and beauty.
Glory and beauty.
That was powerful yesterday when we were taught. What we studied yesterday mm-hmm. was the high priest
right.
that God introduced Aaron, the mm-hmm. and becoming high priest. And then we talked about Jesus being that mediator. He's our priest.
Right.
But I when you said that, I couldn't help but remember. And it's he made beauty from ashes.
Yeah.
And that's what he specializes in.
Absolutely.
I remember a story that an evangelist told about he was preaching in a church, and there's this young woman that showed up on Sunday morning that the congregation had been working with, and she had lived a difficult life, drugs, illicit mm-hmm. lifestyle, and she was born again. And he was finishing up on Wednesday night. That young girl that had come forward Sunday morning had lived a tough life, but she'd been saved, washed in the blood of Jesus. On Wednesday night, this is when the pastor and evangelist sat up there in front of everybody in the chairs behind the pulpit, you know, and they were looking out there, and the evangelist said, just looking over the congregation while they were singing, they were talking, you know, he said, who has the most angelic face in the congregation?
Mm.
The pastor started looking around. And both of them agreed it was that girl who had been saved and washed
Amen.
In the blood of Christ. All of her sins had been forgiven, washed
yeah.
away, and she was there worshiping the Lord.
Right.
And Jim, that's what God wants to do in
it
every
is.
Life. He wants us to be, know him, and he brings new life, doesn't he?
He absolutely does.
He changed my life. I tell folks, I was just 12 years old. Afraid of my shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had other sins, but fear dominated my life. After I got saved on that Tuesday night, I started walking around in the dark, proving to myself my life had been changed. I could whistle in the dark. And I couldn't sing, but I could still whistle,
brother. You could whistle.
Brother.
There
I could whistle
go.
In the dark. He can change your life.
Well, and that's what he came to do.
He
that
did.
Was his purpose. He came to make dead men live.
Amen.
He came to take away the sin of this world. And so when we think about that and the promise here that where the Father says, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So, son, you go ahead and go to that cross. You're taking the children's sin that I've asked you to cover. You are the spotless lamb who's given for their sacrifice. And in fact, it's such a pure sacrifice, they won't have to do it again because That's your sacrifice wrong. Counts forever. And then for him to take and say, all right, I'm going to do that, but I do this for your glory, so glorify your name.
Amen.
And then God showed up, and there was darkness when Christ died and yielded up his spirit. Who did he yield it to? He said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then Bert, I'll get carried away.
Go
so
ahead,
you
brother.
Reel me
I'm
back in.
I'm enjoying this. Go, Jim.
But 3 days later, God did what he said he would do.
Amen.
He brought glory to his name because we serve the risen Savior.
Two greatest enemies, sin and death.
Right.
And Jesus Christ overcame all.
Yes, he did.
And he gives more than that. I think we talked about this, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. But I got more than I asked for. I got a friend.
Amen.
I got a life worth living, purpose. Come to Christ. One more thing that we want to do.
Right.
We won't spend a lot of time, and that's the manna. We already referred to it. They was proud of it when it first came, but it got monotonous after a while. It started in Exodus chapter 16, the manna, and the word manna means what is it? was bread from heaven, and it would appear every morning except on the Sabbath, on the day before the Sabbath. They had to collect 2 days' worth.
Right.
If they tried to collect it any more than one day, you know, it would ruin.
Yeah.
It would only stay good for 2 days, the day of before the Sabbath to the through the Sabbath day. Okay, now real quickly, hadn't got a lot of time, but in John chapter 6, verse 48, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life."
Yeah.
He is the bread. He is consumed.
See, here I was thinking you were going to go with man should not live by bread alone.
Well, I thought about that one too. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but one of the things that I pulled out of this, and because you know with me it's all about the food, and with the food I think about the taste. Mm. And so it said it was its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. So God didn't just give them bread. He gave them something that was good-tasting bread.
Amen.
But then when Jesus comes back and says, I am the bread of
life. I'm the bread of life. I am that bread. I give life. And I now, really, you remember he in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Mm-hmm. I know it's talking about eating, and it really
right.
is.
Right.
But when you look at the theme and the redemption line and you see he's the bread of life, he gives us grace day by day. You get mm-hmm. saving grace. You also have dying grace. He gives mm-hmm. grace when we die, but praise God for that living grace. He gives us every day,
absolutely.
Jim. You know, it's not just grace when you get saved. It's grace for living, and he gives that, and it's daily.
Mm-hmm.
And give us this day our daily bread.
Amen.
And it is a powerful thought. Well, this is the redemptive line here in Numbers. We find out concerning he's the rock. He's water, the fiery serpent being lifted up, and now the manna.
And all of it provided by God.
You just can't pick out one thing to describe this magnitude of who Jesus is.
Yeah, well, folks, we're going to take your questions now, and hopefully we'll come up with an answer for you. If not, well, we'll send it to Alex, like I said yesterday. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 as Exploring the Word continues on American Family Radio.
Have you ever considered how much time you spend getting dressed on a daily basis? We live in a day and age where our society is bent towards self-awareness. We approach the day looking for ways to make ourselves look good. Are we giving the same attention to the inner being? Colossians 3:12 reminds us to clothe ourselves with compassion. Could it be that the greatest impression that we will leave with someone isn't going to come through the clothes we wear, the grooming techniques we administer, or the bling we adore ourselves with, but instead it's going to come through the words we speak and the attitudes we convey and the actions we display? Poet Robert Frost once said, "There never was any heart truly great and generous that was not also tender and compassionate." In seasons of genuine revival, the followers of God take great strides in dressing themselves with compassion. I'm Ryan Loving, revivalist with Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
Being there is half the battle. 1MillionDads.com exists to help Christian fathers to be present and intentional in the lives of their children. Our hope is to wake up the fearsome wonder that is the mighty man of God and restore him to his role as leader, teacher, and counselor. We'll help you learn and grow as a Christian father. We'll support each other when we fail to be the dad Christ calls us to be. Visit 1MillionDads.com. 1MillionDads.com.
This week, Alistair Begg concludes our series about the nature and mission of Jesus Christ, and then begins a brand new study from one of the most intriguing books in the Old Testament, the prophetic book of Daniel. Listen weekdays to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. Ultrasounds are truly saving the lives of babies. Preborn is a ministry that is involved in placing ultrasounds at pregnancy centers. And my wife and I have visited these pregnancy centers firsthand, and we see young ladies that come in expecting to make an appointment for an abortion are leaving, saying they want to save their baby and have this baby. It is an incredible thing when a mother hears the heartbeat and sees an ultrasound. Support Preborn. I can't think of any investment better.
A gift of $140 provides free ultrasounds for five abortion-minded mothers. You can give now at 877-616-2396 or visit AFR.net.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Jim Stanley. It's my privilege to be alongside Brother Bert Harper this afternoon. And want to remind you once more about our partnership with Preborn Ministry and how you can help. And folks, I understand that we've just come out of Christmas. I get that. I understand that we're probably all a little stretched. I want you to understand we're not asking for you to take money from your tithe. We're not asking you to take money from your church. But we're asking that you pray about this. And if you feel like this is something that you can support, that you want to help provide moms a way to see their babies and then help them choose life, this is a way that you can do it. Again, it is Pro-Life Month as we celebrate each year, and this is the first year we've done anything like this.
First year.
And I blame me for that. I think we should have been doing something. So these folks help with local crisis pregnancy centers, and what we're looking to do is help support them by paying for some ultrasounds.
It's a great, great opportunity. And AFR, here we are. We talk about it. We are pro-life all the way. But now to be able to not just talk about it, but to give.
Right.
And what you're doing, you're not even doing it with ultrasound. Most all the ones that I know anything about, they share the gospel when they come through. So you're getting evangelism and the possibility of a life saved with your money.
And that's one of the neat things, because those ladies, the folks that work in the clinics, they'll have an opportunity to talk to ladies that you and I will never see and that probably would not want to talk to us anyway, because they're going to look at us and they're going to see judgment. But when they go to these ladies are ministers of the Lord, and they show them their baby. They talk about the life that's inside, how that life was created, and why it's important to maintain. And so if you'd like to help us with that, you can do so at 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. 2396 or online at AFR.net.
Thank you, Jim. And we're going to go to the phone lines, and we've got people online. Thank you for calling. Let's go to North Carolina, and we're going to talk to Robert. Robert, welcome.
Well, thank you, Bert. It's my pleasure and privilege to talk to you. I appreciate you very much, and listen to you as often as I can. I have a question this afternoon regarding human rights. You know, we hear it so much in the news, and it's in the Declaration of Independence that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. I got to looking for them in the Bible, and I wasn't able to turn them up specifically. I was wondering if you had any insight to that. I know we're a Christian-founded company or country, but is there anywhere in the Bible other than the right to be called children of God? I think it's John 1:14, where we're told that we have rights. I know we have privileges, we have dominion, we have promises, we have responsibilities and commandments, but I just can't find the rights in there. I was wondering if you could help me with that. I'll be glad to take my answer off the air.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. Thanks for that question. That is a question that Alex and I have not gotten in my 5 years of being on this. Let me share this with you. First of all, when you, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, mm-hmm. you know, life is in the womb. And when you look far as finding the word rights and everything, some of them are implicit. They're just and they're explicit in their nature, and that is the right to life is right to be born. That which is conceived thee in you is of the Holy Spirit. It's what he told Mary. Life is in the womb, and there's Jim. When I think of that, it's just I think it's explicit that life is God given and the right to live.
Right.
God gives a life. No, Jesus said, no one takes it from me. I lay my life down.
Right.
Letting Jesus be the speaker of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that gives life, and he's the one that takes it away when it comes to his life. He gives that to us as well.
Well, and you know, Bert, I think that for me, it's one of those things that sometimes the Constitution does talk about, you know, that we, you know, the rights that we as Americans have.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you know, that the rights that you talked about. But I think sometimes what we miss in the scripture is it's not about our rights. It's not what we have the right to do and the right not to do. It's about surrendering those rights and our will to serve and follow Christ. Now, and so that's, I have a little different take on that, and I mean that with no disrespect to anyone, because as Americans, it's like we talked about Paul being a citizen of Rome. You know, we touched on that just briefly yesterday. When you were a citizen of Rome, you had rights. When you're a citizen of the United States, you have rights. Now, we're finding those rights are beginning to be undermined, and we do believe that our Constitution, you can find the foundation for it in the scriptures and in the life of Christ, and certainly the right of life is one of those. And so, but for me, I just have a little different spin on that. And
well, let me just share with you, the gospel works mm-hmm. under all circumstances. Mm-hmm. That's what the whole book of Acts is about.
Right.
Geographical, mm-hmm. economic, mm-hmm. Social, racial. It
right.
does not matter. The gospel
right.
works all everywhere.
Right.
But we have found out by observing
mm-hmm.
the gospel works best in with unhinderedness.
Amen.
Okay? And in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came.
Right.
Now, during that, I don't know everything, the fullness of time, but I know it was the Roman government that controlled it all. They had one language. You remember the phrase, all roads lead to Rome. And with Paul being a Roman citizen and the Roman communication system and the highway system, mm-hmm. transportation system, what a time for Christ to have come and the church to be birthed.
Amen.
And I would say that those rights in the Constitution, they are implicit in the Bible.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
But I agree with you. That is not the chief deal.
Right.
Okay? The chief deal is, you've already said it, to glorify God. My purpose after I'm saved
mm-hmm.
is to glorify God in all circumstances.
Yeah.
Do I fight for those freedoms? I do.
Oh, absolutely.
And we do here at AFR. We desire that. But I do want them for my children and my grandchildren.
Amen.
But the biblical reason is more for the gospel of Jesus Christ,
yeah,
for that freedom, so the gospel will have freedom.
Amen. I agree.
Robert, good question. Okay, thank you. Let's go to Texas and talk to Deborah. Deborah, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. So my question is, I have two teenage children, and one thing that they've both kind of struggled with in their faith is trying to grasp the whole eternity thing. You know, once we go to heaven and then we live forever, they're just having a hard time, I guess, being forever for eternity. And I try to explain to them, you know, that God's timing is different than our timing. But I didn't know if you maybe had a better explanation.
Okay.
Of how to share that with them.
Eternity.
Thanks, Deborah. That's a great question. And I think that what she was saying there is that God's time is different. I don't think we're going to notice the passage of time. You know, I don't think that we're not going to be bound by our watch. We're not going to be bound by our calendar. We're not going to be bound by what's for supper tonight. We're going to go beyond that. And when we look at eternity and we are spending that in heaven with God, and, you know, we the different things that we read about and the different things that are going to happen will happen. But I just, you know, and Bert, please answer this, because I don't want to dissuade anybody. I don't want to tell them anything that's not right. But I honestly think that it goes back to what we said yesterday. We're going to have a lot of questions. But when we're there and we know as we are also known, you know, when we know as we are also known, then those questions aren't going to matter anymore. And I think the same is going to be true of passage of time.
I agree, Jim. Let me just share what Jesus was said about him and what he said. He says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish.
Mm-hmm.
Eternity and eternal life. Eternal is not just a quantity, it is a quality.
Right.
That's the first thing I would share. When you talk about eternal life, it's a quality of life. And eternal life does not begin at death. It begins at salvation.
Amen.
Experience. If you've been born again, you're experiencing
point.
Eternal life right now. And what happens with death, it becomes a doorway
mm-hmm.
from time into timelessness. And that's what you were referring
yes,
to. There's no need of the sun in heaven because Jesus is the light.
Right.
So you don't have the morning. You know, so what you're saying is so true, Jim, concerning that. The other thing that describes Jesus is he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, the beginning and the end, I just want to tell you, Deborah, that's bigger than me.
Amen.
That's higher than me. It first came to realize about the universe. It can't stop. Because what are you going to do? Come to a wall and it says the end?
Yeah.
No, there's got to be something on the other side of the wall. And one of the greatest experiences I have, Deborah, and I would, if you could get your children to Ken Ham's
Ark
and
the museum,
the Creation Museum,
mm-hmm.
the Creation Museum, and then go into the planetarium where you're laying
oh, wow.
on your and you're seeing the space. It talks about space. And it really goes into eternity.
Yeah,
Deborah, I'm sharing with you. That would be a great way to spend some money, is to take them to south of Cincinnati and
mm-hmm.
go to the Creation Museum. While you're there, go to the Ark too.
Yeah,
but eternity, I would say you're experiencing it right now if
you know,
you've been saved.
That's a great point, because I can't get outside of our solar system. Let alone to the eternity of the universe. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We've got time for a few more calls.
One hour. More thing about that. Pluto, does it exist or not exist?
Well, it exists, but it's been downgraded. It's not a planet anymore.
I know. It's so,
man,
you know,
this
disappointed me. I bet Disneyland really had a hard time
with
Pluto.
Okay. Absolutely.
I shouldn't have went there. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Angela. Angela, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. My question is what exactly is lordship salvation, and is it biblical? I've got a friend, and she says that we are saved by grace, but the only way to eternal life is through obedience. And I understand that. I know that we should be obedient, and God has called us to be holy. But she insists that if you're truly walking with God and truly walking in the Holy Spirit, you won't ever sin. And I've gotten a little confused and downhearted, and okay. I really don't know how to address her.
So Angela, I would just take her to the Apostle Paul, who said, "Those things I want to do, I find myself not doing, and those things that I find myself doing, I don't want to do, and those things I want to do, I find myself not doing them. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Angela, she needs to know that you're dual, that she and you are dual-natured.
Right.
Those that are lost are single-natured.
Mm-hmm.
They're the King James Version, and with my age, a lot of times I repeat the King James, but I love some of the language there. We're carnal.
Right.
It means fleshly. That's the only nature a lost person has. Now, they can think higher thoughts. They can look at different things, but their nature is only fleshly, earthly.
Amen.
But once you've become born again, there's a new nature, a spiritual nature, Jim, and it's awake. So I'm dual-natured. And my professor, the one that I told you about at Blue Mountain College, James Travis,
right.
He said, "I can tell you which one will win when you're dual nature, the one you feed the most."
Amen.
But who is without sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him,
right.
According to 1 John.
Well, and it's interesting you say that, because I'm in 1 John, 2nd chapter, and it says, now, because I'm going to throw you a curveball, do I believe it's possible for a Christian to live without sin? Yes. Do I believe it's probable? Absolutely not. Why? Because it's just like you said, what do we feed the most? And for a lot of us, unfortunately, it's our fleshly side. But when you look at 1 John chapter 2, and it says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." But he doesn't leave us hanging there. "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." I get so tired of hearing about how Christianity is an exclusive religion. Folks, Christianity is the most inclusive,
praise God,
religion you will ever find. Because when it says he died for the whole world, he did. When he lives for the whole world and paid the price for their sin, he did. Now, and Angela, I want to say one other thing. And this is where when you first talked about what your friend was telling you is that there is the requirement of obedience. There are some teaching from the Armenian Wesley background, and as I've mentioned before, I come out of a background with the Salvation Army, and they are the same. They also
Wesleyan.
Come from a Wesleyan background, and so one of their doctrines is that we believe that continuance in a state of salvation depends upon continued obedient faith in Christ. And, you know, that's something that I struggled with for years, because I knew Jim Stanley wasn't going to make that mark. Fortunately for me, I have an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ. And because of him, he came and paid the sin debt that I owe. And he helps me through his Holy Spirit. It goes back to what we said a minute ago, 1 Corinthians 10:13. "Therefore hath no temptation overtaken you, but God is faithful."
He's faithful.
So, Angela, that's one of those things that it's going to be a little hard to say every now and then, because you're not going to be able to convince them. But that goes back to what we've talked about before, where we talk about things that unite us and not divide us. And so it's good to know that Amen. You have an advocate as well.
Jim, I had a friend that came up to me, and he said, "Man, I haven't sinned in 5 years." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, you just broke it." And he said, "Why do you mean?"
Pride.
Sound like pride is in that. So anyway, Angela, thank you. Ryan from West Virginia couldn't get to your call. Try back. We'd love to talk with you.
Or
talk about that.
Send us an email.
Word@afr.net.
Word.
We'd love to hear from you.
@afr.net. Hey, Bert, thanks for letting me hang out.
Hey, we don't know about tomorrow.
That's
Pray for
right.
Alex till he'll get better, though.
Pray for him, because we enjoy him being on here. Thanks again for listening to Exploring the Word. Stick around. Tony Perkins in Washington watches after the news right here on American Family Radio. Have a great afternoon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.